Isn't it nice that about 80% of Americans are in church today? The problem is they don't stay. They get convicted. They think, well, there's 2 days a year. Let's see, Christmas and Easter. They call Easter. I want to tell you a little bit about Easter while we're on the subject. Praise God. And it's in its original state. I'll read you some stuff here. Actually, Easter was a pagan holiday. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's how it originally started. The ancient Saxons celebrated the return of the spring. It was a festival commending their goddess of offspring and of springtime. You wonder why rabbits multiply. It was actually called Estra, E-S-A-E-A-S-T-R-E, instead of Easter. When the second century Christians and missionaries entered into the tribes in the north with their pagan celebrations, they attempted to convert them to Christianity, and they did so. However, it would have been suicide for the very early Christian converts to celebrate their holidays with the observances that did not coincide with the celebrations that already existed. To save lives, the missionaries cleverly decided to spread the religion message slowly throughout the populations by allowing them to continue to celebrate pagan feasts, but to do so in a Christian manner. I would say that's called compromise. As it happened, the pagan festivals, Estra, occurred at the same time of the year as the Christian observation of the resurrection of Christ. So this day that they call Easter is actually a celebration of a goddess, Estra. Is everybody with me? That's why we don't celebrate Easter, we celebrate resurrection. As a matter of fact, it's called the Feast of First Fruits. That's what we're celebrating today. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, to God be the glory. It made sense, therefore, to alter the festival itself to make it a Christian celebration as converts were slowly won over. The early name Estra was eventually changed to its modern spelling, Easter. The Easter Bunny is not a modern invention, of course. The symbol originated with the pagan festivals, Estra. The goddess Estra was worshipped by the Anglo-Saxons through their early earthly symbol. The rabbit was actually like an idol. They were worshipped. So now you know why you got rabbit. And it wasn't Bugs Bunny, because he's a friend of mine. The Germans brought the symbol of the Easter rabbit to America, widely ignored by other Christians until shortly after the Civil War. In fact, Easter itself was not widely celebrated in America until after that time. And with the Easter Bunny and the holiday itself, the Easter egg predates the Christian holiday of Easter. The exchange of eggs in the springtime is a custom that was centuries old when Easter was first celebrated by Christians. From the earliest times, the egg was a symbol of rebirth in most cultures. Eggs were often wrapped in gold leaf, or if you were a peasant, colored brightly by boiling them with the leaves or petals of certain flowers. They put the colors on the eggs. Today, children hunt colored eggs and place them in Easter baskets along with modern version of real Easter eggs, those made of plastic or of chocolate candy. So you see here, this Easter that the world celebrates is actually a pagan holiday. Amen? But what we celebrate today is actually called the Feast of First Fruits. Remember, we talked about the feast. The first feast that was celebrated was Passover, then the Feast of Unleavened Bread, then the Feast of First Fruits, which is actually the resurrection of Jesus, the Christ. Amen? Amen. Oh, to God be the glory. Everybody get that? Amen. Good. Now turn your Bible to John, the book of John. And chapter 2. Hallelujah. So we are blessed and highly favored. John chapter 2 and verse 13. Only Jesus could fulfill the feasts. Amen? Only Jesus can. In John chapter 2 and verse 13, would you read it with me? Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers going or doing business. Who is the temple now? We are. Let me share something with you. When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he enters into this temple, and he begins to remove all the money changers. Hallelujah. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Then his disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. So the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show us since you do these things? And Jesus answered and said to them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Of course, they can only see naturally. They couldn't see spiritually. Then the Jews said, it's taken 46 years to build this temple, and you're going to raise it up in 3 days. But he was speaking of the temple of his body. Remember I shared with you, we did a teaching about Passover, that Jesus was actually the tabernacle. He was the temple of God. When he explained to the Jews that I am the way, the truth, and the life, it blew their mind because he knew that those were the name of the three doors in the tabernacle. Jesus answered and said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'm going to raise it. Therefore, in verse 22, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this to them, and they believed the scripture and the word which had been said. Now go to Matthew 12. So then we see here that Jesus said, here's a sign for you. Destroy this temple, and I'll raise it 3 days. In Matthew chapter 12. Oh, to God be the glory. So we celebrate today the Feast of First Fruits, and we'll talk a little bit about that. You know, one of the things that God wants us to have is understanding. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We've got to realize why we celebrate these things. Amen? In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 38, then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. But he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given except the sign of the prophet of Jonah. We know that Jonah was in a whale's mouth for 3 days. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Where? The heart of the earth. So where was he going to be? In hell. Yes, he was hitting Hades, hell, chambers of hell. And men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented of the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. So he said, listen, they repented. They rose up and repented because of finally when Jonah got there. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. Now he's talking about the resurrection here. Okay? He's talking about the resurrection. Let me go to another place here. Christianity, that's what it's about. Christianity, you know, there is no other religion, no other faith that has risen from the dead. None. That's the whole purpose of Christianity. We have a hope of glory. We have a hope because we're having a brand new life. They have false imagery of brand new lives. They think, but you know what? The rewards are fleshly things. You talk to most of the religions, it's fleshy. Some of these religions think they're going to have women, although, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's sexual things. Or possessional things of materialism. That's what they look at. But for me and you, it's not that. It's new life. New life. That's the difference. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Turn to Hosea 6, please. Oh, to God be the glory. Hosea chapter 6, in the first three verses. The sign of the true God will be the raising of the dead. Hallelujah. You know, you even go back in history, and there has been no other faith or anyone's raised from the dead. All of their gods and idols died. Only Christ rose from the dead. You know, it's prophesied by the prophet Isaiah. In verse 1 through 3, it says, "Come and let us return to the Lord, for He has torn, but He will heal us. He has stricken, but He will bind us up. After what? 2 days, He will revive us. And on the third day, He will what? He will raise us up that we may what? Live in His sight." On the third day, He's going to what? Raise us up, and we're going to live in His sight. Oh, hallelujah. Let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. His going forth is established as the morning. He will come to us like rain, like the latter rain and the former rain to the earth. So we see here that there was resurrection, he said, was prophesied by Hosea. Amen? See, they even knew about it then. Oh, hallelujah. Go to John 11. John chapter 11. We bless you, Lord. Jesus expressed in this scripture what happened with Lazarus, who had died. In verse 17, now Lazarus had died. Jesus was a friend of the family. Martha and Mary were his sisters. And in verse 17 it says, "So when Jesus came, He found that He had already been in the tomb 4 days, Lazarus. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met Him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, if You had been here, my brother would have not died.'" Now she knew that Jesus had the power to keep somebody alive. Amen? But she didn't really get it that Jesus had the power to bring someone from the dead alive. See, she knew that He could keep somebody alive by laying hands on them and healing them. Amen? Removing the sickness. But Jesus was really expressing Himself and who He was now. But she didn't believe that He could raise Him from the dead. In verse 22, "But even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you." She stepped out in faith here. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to Him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." So they even knew about resurrection at the last day. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life." In other words, if I want Him to rise now, He can rise now. "He who believes in Me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in Me shall never die." Now what's the word "believe" mean? It means to what? Follow. Because if you're not a follower, you're not a believer. And if you're not a follower, you don't have any part in the resurrection. "Do you believe this?" He asked her. She said to Him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that You are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Oh, hallelujah. Go to verse 38. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Now, you got to understand something. He's talking about me and you now. He's talking about an individual with a stony heart who's been dead. Jesus said, take away the stone. The Bible talks about he would pour his spirit out, give us his spirit, give us a new spirit, and remove the stony heart, give us a heart of flesh. He's saying, listen, you take away the stone, Martha. Martha said to the sister, Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time, my brother stinks, man. He's been dead for a while. He's been dead 4 days. Okay, everybody move back from that stone. We don't want anybody getting slain by the smell. Everybody move back. Come on. That stone's going to... Okay, they were probably casting lots to see who's going to go move the stone. Oh, hallelujah. And Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Then he took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me, and I know that you always hear me, because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. And you would die, and now, wait a minute. Now when he had said these things, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Let me tell you something. He has called out every one of your names and said, come forth. Everyone, come forth, he said. You might not have heard of him, but you did. See, because you wouldn't be here if you didn't hear him. Hello. Come forth. Now when he said these things, cried out, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes. We were all bound with grave clothes, hand and foot. And his face was wrapped with a cloth. Couldn't see, couldn't hear. Doing our own thing, listening to the voice of a stranger, never knowing the voice of God. And then Jesus said, loose him and let him go. That's where the body of Christ comes into effect. Because God is using the body of Christ now to loose and let go. Let people go. Amen? So we see here, this Jesus is the resurrection. He is God. This impartation was a preparation for what was to come. He gave this to them, a new life, without the gospel of new life. There is no new life without the gospel of new life. Amen? And then he expressed, and then they finally believed that he was the Christ, and I'm telling you what, many flipped out. He went telling everybody that Jesus just raised Lazarus from the dead, and that really upset the Pharisees and Sadducees. Of course, they even tried to kill him even more now. But Jesus was always expressing the arena that he was resurrection. The purpose of Christianity is for a new life. Not in rules and regulations. It's an area where there's fellowship, and if you believe, you follow. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, hallelujah. Happy first fruits. We celebrate first fruits today. 1 Corinthians 15. We thank you, Lord. In verse 12. 15:12. Now God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So, you know, it's amazing, like I said, so people come to church, they come to fellowship. They actually, sometimes a carnal mind, I remember when I was younger, and I thought, oh my God, it's where God lives. I go in there, he's going to kill me. And for all the things I've been doing. You know, I go in there and leave my dope and everything out in the car. You know, guns, whatever it was. Hammers. Everything was out in the car. Whatever. I'd stash it out in the bushes because at one time I couldn't drive yet. I wasn't old enough. I'd go into church and lay my head down. Oh. Thinking like he didn't know anything, you know. Because we were so bound by religion. You know, we did a few Hail Marys, ran around the building and couple of push-ups and you were done. So there was really no relationship. There wasn't that worship of God Almighty. There was not that presence of God that would change someone's heart or bring conviction. I got convicted for the things I was doing because the impartation, I knew the Ten Commandments, not by heart, but I knew some. The one that was always hitting me was, thou shalt not steal. Every time I went to put my little paws in something, don't steal. No power. No power to say, I can't do this. Fornication and all kinds of other things. We didn't have any power. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 12. Would you read it with me? Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? You know, there's many people, even believers supposedly, that call themselves believers, don't believe that there's a resurrection. They still believe in Darwinism, whatever it is. Yeah, they believe they came from an ape. Yeah, I believe Jesus. I'm a follower. But I'm not. Many people don't believe that. They don't believe in the rapture. They don't believe in the resurrection of Christ because they have no understanding. They go to rituals. There is no fellowship. Hallelujah. Verse 13. But there is no resurrection of the dead. Then, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he has raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up. If in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiful. Isn't that wild? So if we're not really truly believers in this arena that there is a resurrection, then we are pitiful, he said. Then it's all been done in vain. That's why he said that we're no longer to live for ourselves, but to live for him. Because what awaits us is so much glorious. So much more glorious. Oh, hallelujah. Let's go a little further. Verse 20. Would you read it with me? But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the what? First fruits of those who have fallen asleep. That's why we celebrate the feast of first fruits. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom of God to the God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. So we see here that we are known as the first fruits. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 8. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended in the lower parts of the earth. And that's what he did yesterday, didn't he? Amen? He was in hell. Well, actually, he did it Friday. He's been there in hell kicking butt and the devil. Oh, hallelujah. That's my dad. Warrior. Now this he ascended. What does it mean that he also first descended in the lower pits of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. Oh, to God be the glory. 1 Peter chapter 3. Jesus is alive. His spirit, you can't kill a spirit, you know. We are spirits, you can't die. You know, there'd be an eternal life or eternal damnation. Spirits cannot die. Oh, hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 3. Is everybody there? And verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. By whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison. We were talking something about this yesterday in one of our meetings. He preached to the spirits in prison. He's talking about the prison, the spirits that were in hell. When Jesus went to hell, he also allowed those who were there to be released from hell. It's one chance only. Because once he left there, it was over with. So he preached to the spirits in prison, who formerly were disobedient, and once a divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved through water. So we see here that Jesus went to hell to preach to the individuals to rescue them. Amen. And what was he preaching? The resurrection. He's preaching the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is an eternal kingdom. See, people think that the kingdom of God is like a temporary kingdom. But the kingdom of God is an eternal kingdom. So to have an eternal kingdom, you must be eternal. That means you must be brought from death to life. Eternal. Go to chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking, parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these things, they think it strange that you don't do the same things anymore. What's the matter with you? I mean, you're always going to try and be enticed. It's amazing when someone... I was talking to the Lord about backsliding today, and I'm not going to express whatever. But it's amazing when someone goes back to the darkness, they want to take everybody with them. And they wonder, well, man, what's the matter with you, man? Aren't you in bondage in that religion? They want to entice you to come back after they were just walking with you, fellowshipping with you, praising God with you. They bite the bait and go the other way. Now they want to take you with them. Then they say you're in bondage and they think it's strange that you're not following them. Oh, hallelujah. In regard to these things, they think it's strange that you don't follow them anymore, that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. See, when you begin to turn around and you make that choice not to touch darkness, not to fellowship with darkness, they're going to start speaking evil of you. They're going to try to find everything, turn it around, because the devil always gives them a twister. And it's not one of those ice cream things. It's one of these twisters of the mind. The first thing people do when they go backslide is to go in captivity in the mind. They take in captivity and they begin to hear the voice of the stranger than the voice of God. And then everything, and then the devil brings them false imagery and everything else, and they begin to condemn everything else. That's what happened with Jesus. The Pharisees and Sadducees, who thought they were righteous with God, they began to speak evil of Jesus because he was doing that which was of God. See, there's a difference between the traditions of men and those things from the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. He says this, he says in verse 5, they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason the gospel is preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. People will come against you. You know, I'll never forget when I got saved, my family was still waiting for me to fall. Some of them still are waiting for me to fall. It's been 13 years now. They're still waiting. Hallelujah. Matthew 22. Glory to God. They're just waiting to say, see, I told you. I told you. That stuff just isn't real. I remember when I started tithing and we talked about tithing to some of my family. They were like, oh, you got to be careful how much money you give to that stuff. Be careful how much money you give. Well, I'm giving it to God. Oh, yeah. They didn't get it. But you know what? I got it. And because I got it, I got it. Hallelujah. Walking in the supernatural. Chapter 22 and verse 23. The same day, the Sadducees... See, they're called Sadducees because they miss God. They're sad, you see? Hallelujah. See how sad they are? They miss God. Sadducees. So next time you see this, you go, man, they were sad people. Man, they miss God. The same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. And there were with us Now there are with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. Likewise, the second also, and the third even to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her. Jesus answered and said to them, You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching, because he blew the Sadducees out of the water. See, in this resurrection, you are no longer married. Hello. You are married to Christ. You can't be married to someone else. Let me share something. The Bible even talks about that. Well, you're not even going to remember the things of the natural. I'm telling you, in the rest, all of these things that you're going through right now, you won't know. When you get to the other side, nothing matters. You know why? I've been there. Only for a short period of time. I guess I should have never said, if this is death, I want it. I could have still been there. But I did say it. And I had to come back. When the cloud of glory came over me and took me into the other side, I didn't think about my wife or my children or anything. The only thing that was there was him. I said, oh yeah, glory, if this is death I wanted. Whoop. Oh, me and my big mouth. Hallelujah. But anyways, to God be the glory. He said, you got a job to do. But I'm telling you, you don't think about nothing. It's over with. You're in God's glory. Who cares? Nothing matters anymore. That's what's awaiting me and you. You're not going to remember all of this stuff. All of this stuff is going to go. You won't have to worry about where you used to live, what house you lived in, or your material things. Your children, nothing. They're all God's anyways. They're not ours. Hallelujah. We're all going to be glorified. So it says that we'll be like angels, right? We're all going to have a glorified body. Go to Job 14:14. I forgot a couple people I shared this with who supposedly are believers. They're like, oh man, really? Oh, I don't know if I'm ready to go home then. I want to remember. And I was sitting in my room the other day, I was looking out the window going, I thank you, Lord. I couldn't live here forever. I couldn't handle here forever. Thank you. Thank you for death. Death is a rescue. Job 14:14. Now let's start at 13. Oh, that you would hide me in the grave, that you would conceal me until your wrath has passed. If a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my hard service I will wait till my change comes. Even Job knew that he was going to change. Does everybody understand that? Job said, I will wait all my hard services. I know that I'm going to change. I'm going to change. Go to Matthew 27. Oh, hallelujah. Now Jesus prepared them for the sign. You know, Jesus said, there are only certain signs I'm going to give you, but Jesus was always given the sign that he was the resurrection of life. Remember, he raised Lazarus from the dead. Actually, when he was in the garden and the soldiers came to get him, and they said, where's Jesus? He said, I am. Hello? When he said, I am, all the soldiers flew back. Then there was a young man and others around him that were, he had a robe on, and his robe kept falling. They were fighting over the robe because he was cloth and how they wrapped people who were dead. Because when Jesus said, I am, people rose from the dead right then. And they were fighting over the cloth. It said that there was a boy, young men in there, and they were naked. And they're all struggling over the cloth that one of them had. Because when Jesus said, I am, not only did soldiers fall back, but people rose from the dead that were buried near him. And Jesus on the cross said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And immediately, in verse 50, and Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked and the rocks were split. Now we talked about this already. And this is all a representation of the Passover. And he went into hell. And it says, and the graves were open, and many of the bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. They were still dead, but the graves were open. Rocks were split because many of them were buried or put in caves or tombs and so forth. So all of these bodies were all of a sudden exposed. And then the next day, because see, it was against their belief also. They couldn't touch dead corpse. That's why they had to be prepared and so forth. And the graves were open. And then 53, and it says, and coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So we see here when Jesus rose from the dead, this was actually the first sign when Jesus rose from the dead. The witnesses of the resurrection of the dead and his resurrection went into the city. Kept saying, he's alive. He's alive. In fact, the first person he appeared to when he rose from the dead was Mary Magdalene. So the first preacher to preach Jesus' resurrection was a woman. Amen. For those who don't believe there should be women preachers. Foolishness. So the witnesses of resurrection of dead and his resurrection, it's the first sign. It was also, when those people rose, were they a part of the first fruits? Amen? Go to Hebrew 11. Word upon word, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, to God be the glory. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Verse 35, I think. Yeah. Hebrews 11, 35. It says that women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn in two. These were torment of the believers. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. So even some of those, and they're talking about when Jesus rose, those who rose from the dead, when Jesus rose from the dead, he says, and they got some of their dead, and so forth. You know, anybody remember when Elisha was buried? What happened? There was a soldier, they found a dead soldier out there, they threw it in Elisha's grave. And the anointing of Elisha's bones touched the dead soldier, and he became alive. Amen? Remember those who were taken up alive, and so forth. Go to Acts 1. So the Jews really got a first-hand revelation about the resurrection of Christ. Many of them denied it. Of course, they missed the visitation of the Lord. But many of them received it. And he appeared to many also. In Acts chapter 1, would you read it with me? First three verses. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles in whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking into things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So when Jesus rose from the dead, he hung out for 40 days. Go to verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. And when they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in the like manner, and as you saw him go into heaven. So he's saying, hey, listen, he's going to come in the same way he left. Amen? So we see that we just talked about resurrections already. There were many resurrections, but that one that when Jesus died was the first true sign for many to believe, especially when people wanted to go visit their families, to go visit them at the grave, and they weren't there. And they were home sitting, watching TV, and having popcorn. Hallelujah. Go to Luke 24. Luke 24. Jesus is alive. Death had no victory over him. Luke 24. Praise be to God. In verse 36, Jesus appears to them after his resurrection. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, Peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened, supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see I have. When he said these things, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marvel, he said to them, have you any food? In other words, he was going to bring them to another level. So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence. See, that's what we're going to be like. We'll have a different type of flesh. It'll be glorified. There'll be no blood in us. You'll be able to eat all you want and not gain any calories. Praise God, you can pig out and not become a pig. Amen? No sickness, nor disease, no nothing. And Jesus appeared to them and he showed them, this is what you're going to be like. Touch. They were freaked out. They thought they saw a ghost. I'm not the ghost. I'm your God. And he revealed himself to them. So he sealed it by giving us, saying, give me something to eat. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. I want to share with you what resurrection is, what first fruits are. You're the first fruits now, you know. You've been rescued to change not only things in your family, but to change the world. I mean, I've been rescued to change the world? Yeah, well, it only takes one to change the world. So there's enough people in here, if you're walking right with God, doing the right things, walking in the anointing and the power of Christ, the resurrection, living God, wherever you are, things can be changed. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Then you wonder why people don't come and learn. Because they're bound. Listen, I just want to share this. You can't serve God your way. It's either His way or the highway. That's the way it is. You can either serve God His way or not at all. It doesn't work any other way. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Got a weak amen on that. 1 Corinthians 15 and 47. 15 and 47. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And was the man of dust also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Now what was his image? He was a glorified body, wasn't he? Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. Oh, that's that next feast, isn't it? Next feast is the feast of trumpets. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised into corruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortality has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up. The mystery of we will change. Go to 1 Thessalonians 4. This will be the second sign. These signs are representation of His comings. Remember, Jesus came the first time, died and rose from the dead, and took many with Him. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. The second coming or the second sign. Jesus will come, but He will not touch the earth. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is another resurrection. Okay, we got to remember, He is the God of resurrection, so He gives signs of resurrection. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Is everybody there? Good. And in verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who are asleep in Jesus. Those are the ones who have died. For this we say to you, the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up. That word caught up means rapture or resurrection. We'll be raised together with him in the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and thus we will always be with the Lord. It says comfort one another. So this is the second sign of his resurrection, is the rapture. Go to Revelation 11. Jesus is alive. Revelation 11. Now during the tribulation, God will also give signs of his resurrection. Oh, hallelujah. He's a merciful God. You got to remember something. The rapture is a sign to the world that whatever they were believing, anything else but Christ, it was wrong. I don't believe it's going to be a silent rapture. The Bible says it's going to be a shout from heaven. The trumpet's going to sound. I do not believe that we're going to just, our clothes are just going to be left there, and our teeth and, you know, jewelry and, you know, pacemakers and, you know, hearing aids and everything that sustains this side here, glasses. I believe that there's going to be a shout. In fact, I truly believe, just like, and now this is just my opinion, this is not an absolute, I really believe just the same thing would happen with Jesus on the cross. The graves will be opened. Things are going to happen because God is going to want to rescue as many souls as possible. It's not going to be some secret removal. I can't believe that. Because he says he desires no one to perish. Let me tell you, when the Lord comes to the earth to bring judgment, it's over with. There's no more opportunity. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? In Revelation 11, in verse 3, he says, "And I will give my two witnesses power, and they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth." It's most likely to be Moses and Elijah, because they were taken. It could be Enoch. I don't really think it's going to be Enoch, because it's also represent Enoch was taken alive, and Elijah was taken alive, but it's also a representation of those who are dead in Christ and those who are alive in Christ. And Moses, the Lord buried, but then they came and got his body. So we see that these two witnesses are the two that are going to come back. Either be Moses and Elijah or Enoch and Elijah. One or the other. And I'll give them power. And these are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. You know, fire proceeds from your mouth? Hallelujah. And if anyone wants to harm them, they must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood. Well, who had power over waters to turn to blood? Moses. And to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them and overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. And those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days. Those dead bodies will lay out there. And not allow their dead bodies to be put into the graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them. They're going to celebrate that these men have been killed, because they tormented them by the truth. They will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now after the 3.5 days, a breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on all those who saw them. So if they were left out as witnesses for 3.5 days, how do we know that graves aren't going to be opened and left out as witnesses? Same thing when Jesus Amen? When Jesus died on the cross, the same thing. Why? Because his whole purpose is a sign. He wants to rescue all mankind. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. And in the same hour, look at this, there was a great earthquake. Here we go, another replica. And a tenth of the city fell. The earthquake, in the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to God of heaven. The second woe was past. Behold, the third woe is coming. Ooh. So we see here that this was like a replica, wasn't it, of how Jesus died, the earthquake and so forth. Graves were opened up, and these two men were raised. Hallelujah. Go to John 5. A couple more scriptures and we're done. John chapter 5. Jesus is alive. John chapter 5. My wife called me and says, "How you doing?" I said, "I am." She goes, you are?" I said, "I am because he is." Glory to God. John chapter 5 and verse 24. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly I say to you that the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. And has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." I told you can't kill the spirit. "I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me." Revelation 20. Oh, hallelujah. Glory. Revelation chapter 20. And verse 4. Everybody there? The final resurrection. Well, actually, there are probably the final resurrection of this time. There will be one more, I believe. Well, we'll see. We'll talk about it here in a second. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Good. Now, Satan gets thrown into the pit for 1,000 years. Okay? And in verse 4 it says, "And I saw the thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for how long? 1,000 years. That's the millennium that's coming up. The our millennium starts when we return with the Lord. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Go to verse 11. Hallelujah. "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead and the small and the great standing before God, and books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it. That's a resurrection, isn't it? And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. Everybody comes to the judgment, even those who are in hell. They come before the great white throne. This is the final judgment. This is the final resurrection. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that was the final resurrection. But I want to close at one scripture here. Romans chapter 10. So you know, it's an honor and a blessing to know what we're celebrating. You are celebrating the Feast of First Fruits today. Only Jesus could fulfill these. The Feast of First Fruits. 10 days from now, you'll celebrate the Feast of Tabernacle. The Feast of Pentecost. Oh, hallelujah. The Feast of Pentecost will be celebrated 10 days from now. Praise God. In Romans chapter 10, glory to God. Is everybody there? In verse 6, would you read it with me? But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich in all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And we ask today, Father, as you begin to impart this seed, that we may carry it with others. And the urgency to express with others, not to miss resurrection. Lord, those who are celebrating the bunny today, and all those who are in the churches, dressed in purple and all kinds of things, and beautifying themselves, going to the church for that one time out of the year. We ask, Lord, that you would rescue them, convict them, turn them around and change of heart. Lord, we ask that your presence will flood all churches today. All of these fellowships, Lord, that people can truly turn their lives to you and be healed and not miss the resurrection that you've prepared for them. Lord, we thank you. We ask that you keep us hidden in that place with you, Master. As again, we repent and prepare our hearts for communion today, that we can continue in the communion of your Spirit and walk in the ways that are pleasing to you in everything we do. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise God.